thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
We're going to look this morning at some spiritual landmarks. And you might say, well, what is or what are spiritual landmarks? Well, to ascertain that, we first of all have to find out what a landmark is itself. And so a landmark is one of two things. A landmark is an object or a feature of a landscape or town that is easily seen and recognized from a distance, especially one that enables someone to establish their location. For example, the spire was once a landmark for ships sailing up the river. And then secondly, a landmark is an event or a discovery marking an important stage or turning point in something. For example, the vaccine is a landmark in the history of preventative medicine. And so the first definition we find is a feature on a landscape. So for example, the Eiffel Tower comes to mind, or the Golden Gate Bridge in San Francisco, or the Great Wall of China. And closer to home, you would have Stormont. You would have those beautiful cranes at the Titanic Quarter, Samson and Goliath. Or closer to home here at the North Coast, we have the Giant's Causeway. Or you could have William Wiley's bank balance. The other definition for us this morning is that it's an event or a turning point. So reaching the age of being able to drive at 17 years of age, or 16 if you're a motorcyclist, is a landmark event, both for the excited teenager, but also for the very concerned parents. Graduating from college or uni is a landmark event. Unfortunately, it doesn't always guarantee that you're going to get a good job. However, I want you to listen to this amazing true story. I read it yesterday, and it's a son of some friends of ours from Portadown. And this is the exact words that the son had written on his Facebook page. 7 years ago, I was denied in my appeal to return to Portadown College after passing 6 out of 10 GCSEs. 5 years ago, I was suspended from SRC for returning to psychology class intoxicated, and he put in brackets that was ironic. Soon after, I was either smoking, drinking, taking benzos, or sniffing gear daily at home and in work to cope, and became a paranoid wreck, unable to socialize. 4 years ago, after his sister Liz Finnegan had ignited my obsession with literature, Paul Turley vouched for me, allowing me to return to the SRC to complete a different diploma. Today, I graduated from Queen's University Belfast with a BA Joint Honours degree in English and Philosophy. To those like me, you're worth more than people think. Don't let them tell you otherwise. Isn't that fantastic? I have goosebumps reading that. We know the guy's parents. Beautiful, beautiful family. That was a landmark event, if there ever was one in this young man's life. A spiritual landmark is always an amazing event that marks a turning point in a person's life. So don't believe the lie that things can't change, like young James, who just graduated. Don't believe the lie that you can't have spiritual landmarks in your life and your experience, because you can. Don't believe the lie that you can't have a turning point in your life, because you absolutely can. The enemy of your soul, who is the deceiver of the brethren, or the deceiver of the believer, and the problem is that he deceives and we believe him. Yeah? We believe his accusations. He's also the father of lies, and the problem is that we believe his lies too. So we need to see lies for what they are, just like this astute customer who received one of those annoying phone calls, which I'm sure every one of us have. And in his words, this customer said this: "I had a phone conversation today with a very nice young chap, and this is how it went. Hello, sir. How are you today? I'm very well, thank you for asking. And how are you? And more to the point, who are you? I'm calling you from Microsoft." "Microsoft? Okay, what's that?" "I'm fine, sir. I'm from Microsoft, the computer company. I'm calling you to tell you that we found a problem with your computer and..." "Really? Well, that's quite concerning." "Yes, sir, it can become very serious indeed, but thankfully I will be able to fix it for you. Now, if you just answer some security questions for me." No, I meant it's very concerning because, you see, I don't have a computer." "You don't?" "I don't." "Ha ha, must be a problem with your laptop, sir." "I don't have one." "iPad? Nope. Tablet? Nope. I have none of those things. As a matter of fact, I don't even have a telephone." After a few seconds of silence, he said, "Ha ha, sir, you're lying to me now." He said, "Well, you started it." Don't believe the lies that the enemy flings at you. Don't believe the lie that things can't change in your life or your family's life, because they absolutely can. You can have significant spiritual landmarks. Please turn with me and we'll read a few verses in Romans chapter 11 and verse 33. Romans 11:33 says, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways are past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has become his counselor, or who has first given to him and it shall be repaid to him? For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Now, let's look at a few spiritual landmarks this morning. We're going to look, if you're making notes this morning, we're going to look at a time of repentance, a time of brokenness, a time of empowerment, and a time of anticipation. So first of all, a time of repentance speaks to us about the new birth. Repentance, of course, is turning from our sins and turning to God. Repentance is the door to new birth. It's the key to a new life, a new, exciting, and a fulfilling life. Repentance is the first and by far the most significant spiritual landmark of any of our lives. It's the biggest decision that any of us can ever make. I remember having a conversation with a girl. It's about 6 years ago. I hadn't yet started in ministry, but I was on that journey. I was on that road to eventually applying for ministry. Most of you know the story. You've heard the testimony. And it was at a little conference in Lurgan, in Emmanuel. And I'd been going through a wee bit of a rough time, I've got to be honest. I was a bit downcast. Have you ever been there? you're feeling a wee bit low. There'd been a few things happen, I'll not say what, but there'd been a few things happen, and it was sidetracking me. In fact, I would go as far as to say that it was almost derailing my journey back into ministry. It was that bad. I was very, very discouraged. And I remember on one of the breaks just being outside and just chatting to a few folks. Prior to that, we had a gift shop and an art gallery for a short time in Moira. And this girl had also a little shop. It was actually a little ministry where she just loved mums, and she loved to help mums, young mums, single mums, all sorts of mums. And they would offer practical help, material help, spiritual help, prayer, just like that doctor that they have told us about. And I don't quite know how the conversation came about, but I think she got a sense that I was a bit discouraged. And she knew that I was heading towards ministry. And she said, "Paul, I'm a midwife." She said, "Do you know the most critical time, the most difficult time?" Now, I'm a man, okay? I'm speaking to so many ladies here who understand, but there is such a struggle. Before a child is born, it is such a struggle. She said, "And Paul, most mums want to give up. Most of them want to give up at that point in time because it's such a struggle." And then thankfully the baby's born. There's new birth. Was that a word in season for me or not? It was a struggle because God was birthing something in me that had I have allowed the situation and circumstances to derail me from God's call back into ministry, I don't know where I'd be today. Well, I know I wouldn't be here. And so there are times in our lives where there's just God moments in our lives. We think of that time of repentance. We think of that first time that we repented when we experienced new birth. We were singing about it this morning. How fantastic that is to think back of when the Lord saved us. But for many, it was a struggle. And I know for some people who are here this morning and who attend on a regular basis and you haven't as yet given your heart to the Lord, it's a struggle because there's going to be new birth and new life, but the enemy of our souls it's a battle. It's a tug of war. The new birth is a time of repentance. Yesterday, as many of you will know, was the anniversary of the Battle of the Somme. I know that I put a post up about my great uncle Ernest on my mother's side, who, along with 19,000 other souls, lost their life on the first and the deadliest day of the Battle of the Somme, the 1st of July 1916. Why did they do that? It was for our freedom, wasn't it? They gave their lives. He was 22 years of age. Our youngest daughter is 2 years older than my great uncle Ernest, who laid down his life on the battlefield that we would have freedom. That reminds me of that beautiful verse in John 15 and 13 that says, "Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends." Isn't that exactly what Jesus did for us? The new birth, we have received the new birth. An exciting, exhilarating life that we're living here on earth. That is the very first and the most important spiritual landmark that any of us can ever have. Not sure if I'm back on track here. Secondly, a time of brokenness. A time of brokenness and a place of healing. Now, this is not an easy subject to talk about. And it's not an easy subject to listen to, especially if you've been broken or if you are broken, because it is so, so personal. I don't know if you're aware of an art, and hopefully I'll pronounce it right, kintsugi. It's a Japanese art. It's called golden joinery, and it's also known as, well, that big long word, golden repair. It's the Japanese art of repairing broken pottery by mending the areas of breakage with lacquer dusted or mixed with powder, gold, silver, or platinum. Anyone ever seen something like that? Or maybe some of you have heard of it before. You see, what the Japanese do when something's broken, what do when something's broken? You toss it in the bin, don't you? Not the Japanese. That's what they do there. They make it something beautiful. They make something beautiful out of something that's been broken. You see, there can be a place of healing in the midst of brokenness. Jesus pieces together all the broken pieces of our lives just like you would a jigsaw. Listen to this. I read this morning. You might be amazed where this actually comes from. He stood me up on a wide open field. I stood there saved, surprised to be loved. God made my life complete when I placed all the pieces before him. I feel put back together and I'm watching my step. God rewrote the text of my life when I opened the book of my heart to his eyes. That's actually from the Bible. That's the message from Psalm 18. Esther and I went to Port Glenone yesterday. I think that's your neck of the woods, Helen, isn't it? Sorry we didn't call for a cup of tea. You were probably out anyway. Summer madness. Absolutely incredible. First time ever there. We have 9 of our young people there, and Liam and Adele, God bless their souls. They're doing a fantastic job there this weekend. It was just really, really lovely to be there, spend a couple of hours, walk around the campus, go in and out of their prayer space. So we went to this big tent, 24/7 prayer space. Some of you probably read the book or you know of the 24/7 ministry. I think it's Pete Gregg. But here's one of the things that there was different wee workstations, which gave me a wee bit of an idea perhaps for our time of prayer and fasting in September. But anyhow, at one of these wee stations, there was this thing, and it was called New Beginnings. And here's what it says. The truth of the verse in Isaiah reminds us that God can work and do a new thing, even in what looks like a dry and desert place. Do you have an area in your life where you need God to move in what seems like an unlikely place and to do a new thing that only he can do? It could be in your family, with your friends in school, in your mind or relationship with God, or anything you need. Take time to pray, asking God to move, knowing that he is able to do the impossible and bring life even in the most unlikely places. During lockdown, when we were all, well, the majority of us, obviously there were essential workers and different things, but the most of us were confined in our houses, and for us, actually, in ministry in Newton Ard Road, it was the busiest period ever in our lives and in ministry. However, there were obviously periods of downtime, and so when the weather was good, you couldn't go out, so what do? You fittered about in the garden. And so I remember one time, I think I was trying to transplant a particular plant, as you would, and I had this big pot. There must have been a couple of wee hairline cracks in it, but as I moved it, the pot actually broke, just like one of those vases. It broke. The main structure of it kept in place, probably about two-thirds of it, but then there was about another 8 or 10 pieces. And the only thing that I had in the house was Bostick, a tube of Bostick. Well, that tube worked wonders. And I eventually managed to get this pot, a large pot that size there, stuck back together. I got the plant into it, and to this day, it is flourishing. I remember preaching a sermon online, as you had to do then, and my title that week was, God Can Still Use Broken Pots. That's the art of kintsugi. You see, if you're a broken pot this morning, I don't mean to be rude if you're a broken pot, but you see if you are, see if there's brokenness in your life, there can be beauty. You look at that beautiful vase there, that somebody has pieced back together. That is more beautiful than what it was originally. And that is what God can do in our lives when we're broken. I don't know if you've ever been broken, but I have. It's a nasty, nasty place to be, but it's where healing can flow, and it's where something really special can happen in our lives. We got a message on Tuesday that there were two people who we knew in Portadown who had passed away on the same day. Both of their funerals were on Friday. One gentleman would be kind of a friend of some of our family, and the other man is a gentleman who you probably have never heard before, called Sam Gray. And Sam Gray is a member of Portadown. Elam Johnny's nodding his head. Dave, would you play that wee video of Sam, please? Thank you.
So, the thing that really thrilled me, the morning that I was saved, I went up to the prayer meeting. And when I knocked the door, Len Raven had answered the door. He says, what can we do for you? I said, I've given my heart to Jesus last night, and there's a prayer meeting here announced, whatever that is, and I have come to it. Come on in, he says. We've been praying all night for you. I went into that room that morning, 12 people. I prayed all night for me alone, because I had worked at the house where the mission was being run by Ballinara Methodist Church. That spoke volumes to me. Not only had God loved me, give His Son to die to redeem me, wash me from my sins, but here was 12 people, ordinary people from the country, just here and there, different walks of life. They're sitting, praying all night that I would be saved and come to know God. But them things burn and deeply in my heart. Every moment of every day, and even take a life.
Some of those words you might have found a little bit hard to pick up, but Sam Gray died on Tuesday and he was buried on Friday. He was in his 99th year. Sam was a chronic alcoholic in his young days. He was a real, real rough man. Even at 95, when he shook your hand at the door, you knew it. When he got saved, it was through Leonard Ravenhill. The 12 people at that meeting prayed all night for him. It just broke Sam. Just broke him. The 12 people would stay up all night to pray for one soul. Remember Sam telling me a few years ago, we used to do a wee bit of pastoral care in Portadown, and went round to visit him, the most godly man that you've ever met. Beautiful man. You know what he told me? He says, Paul, to date, there are 75 family members have got saved as a result of me giving my heart to the Lord. Isn't that fantastic? One, look at what one soul can do. Are you excited about the mission? The mission in September, the Holiday Bible Club, the Ladies' Conference. There's so many great things that we have in front of us. Probably a wee bit behind time here, so forgive me if we run on slightly. A time of empowerment. The baptism in the Holy Spirit, the second blessing, as some people would call it. Will you turn with me just very briefly? I'm not going to talk a lot about this, only just want to really throw it out and kind of, you know, highlight it, that it is a spiritual landmark that if you have not as yet experienced in your own life, please have a chat with some of us at some time. Turn with me just quickly to Acts chapter 1, please. Just going to read a few wee verses in Acts chapter 1 and 2. You'll be familiar with them. And so Jesus was still with the disciples in chapter 1 and verse 7. He said to them, "It's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Pardon me. And then in verse 1 of chapter 2, just flick over. "And when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound," so it was audible. "There came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them," so it was visible, it was audible, but it was visible. "It appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit." So it was spiritual, it was audible, it was visible, and it was spiritual. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. The Spirit, it was the Spirit, the Holy Spirit gave them utterance. I was in my mid-teens when I experienced for the first time this new empowerment when I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I've got to be honest and say, for me, it was a turning point in my life. I was saved when I was 11. I think I was maybe 16 when I had come into this experience. And it was a major milestone in my life. It was a spiritual landmark. And as I say, I'm not going to say much for the sake of time, but if you lack power in your Christian walk, or if you lack confidence to witness for the Lord, if you feel empty and dry and needing a fresh touch, then the baptism in the Holy Spirit will empower you, and it will fill you to live and to witness like never before. The baptism in the Holy Spirit brings purity and it brings maturity. It brings purity and it brings maturity, because you can't have one without the other. This can be yet another spiritual landmark in our walk with Jesus. It's a real time of empowerment, and yet it's a real humbling experience. And so I'm just throwing that out there, folks. If any of you at any stage would like to talk with myself or any of the elders, please feel free to do so. And this is our last point this morning. A time of anticipation is another spiritual landmark. Of course, I'm referring to the King's return. I'm speaking about the Lord's return, the second coming of Jesus. And how excited are we? How much anticipation do we have for the Lord's return? I don't know if you've been to Hillsborough in County Down. It's the residence of the King. It's the official King's residence when he comes over. And King Charles was driving along. I was in the street. I don't know if you've been to Hillsborough, but there's a big, big, long sweep up to the top of the town, the top of the village. And I remember, you're not going to believe this, I remember King Charles was driving. Well, he wasn't driving. He was in this big vehicle. And all of a sudden, it slowed down. The car slowed down and it stopped where I was. And the door opened. And King Charles welcomed me into the car. He says, "Paul, come into the car." And so what did I do? I got into the car. I didn't even have to put a seatbelt on, Danny. And we went up, and the gates opened for us, and we went into the King's residence. And we got out, and there were ushers at the entrance to the castle. And when they saw King Charles, the doors opened, and King Charles said, "Paul, come on in. Come on into my home." And I went in. He says, "To the right, that's the dining room. You're going to be dining with me tonight. You're going to have a meal with me tonight." And you see those beautiful gardens? Has anyone been to Hillsborough Castle and Gardens? Absolutely beautiful. No expense spared. Those gardens, later on after a meal, we're going to go for a wee walk and we're going to enjoy the landscape together. And we're going to talk and we're going to tell stories together. And we're going to get to know each other. Am I having you on? I'm having you on. Okay? I'm having you on. But, does that not give us a bit of an idea? Yeah, of what the King, the relationship that our Heavenly Father, the King of all the universe, wants to have with us. Look at the access that we have into His beautiful presence. One day, we will either see King Jesus returning as He breaks through the sky to reign powerfully on the earth, or He will take us home. Either way, it's win-win, isn't it? Surely, church family, is that not a phenomenal spiritual landmark that we need to look forward to? Don't believe the lies that you cannot have spiritual landmarks in your life and your experience. Very conscious of time, but could you just play this last video and then I'll sit down. Thank you, Dave. You'll be familiar with the song.
One day when heaven was filled with His praises, one day when sin was as black as could be, Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin, dwelt among men, my example is He. The Word became flesh and the light shined among us, His glory revealed. buried, he carried my sins far away. Rising, he justified, freely forever. One day he's coming on glorious day. On glorious day. Glorious day. On glorious day.
And your love is great. Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.